Next, our program will continue to help us to appreciate the deep love Jehovah has for those who pursue righteousness. Brother Joshua Snape will now highlight this, and his theme is Jehovah loves the one who pursues righteousness.
How much do we really love Jehovah's righteousness? See, it's one thing, isn't it, to acknowledge Jehovah's right, to set standards of what is right and wrong, and it's quite another thing to really love them, to wholeheartedly adopt them as our own. I'd like you to imagine there's a family in your congregation, we'll call them the Apple family, and they have quite a number of children. Well, you respect their right to have those children, and you really like those children, but one day the Apples come up to you and they say, "We've noticed how you like our children. We want you to adopt them as your own. How do you like them apples?" See, the level of commitment is far greater, isn't it? Let's turn to our theme scripture for this part. Proverbs 15 and verse 9. Proverbs 15 and verse 9. Now this really gives us the motivation for why we would want to pursue righteousness to that extent. Proverbs 15:9 says, "Jehovah detests the way of the wicked one, but he loves the one who pursues righteousness." So could there be any greater motivation than that? Knowing that if we pursue righteousness, really pursue it, we will be loved by Jehovah. We're going now to examine five specific groups, and no doubt you'll be included in perhaps one or more of these groups. And we're going to see why Jehovah loves these ones, and also how we can reflect Jehovah's love for these ones. For the first group, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. And as we read this verse, see if you can identify the group, and then we'll talk about this verse a bit more. Matthew 5 and verse 6. It reads there, "Happy are those hungering and thirsting for righteousness, since they will be filled." So what is the group that we're talking about? The first group, well, those hungering for righteousness. But notice it doesn't say happy are those being filled. It says happy are those hungering for righteousness since they will be filled. So we see an important distinction there. In order for us to be blessed, to receive that blessing, we first have to hunger. We can compare it to eating literal food. Likely we know that academically that it's necessary for us to take in certain nutrients into our body for us to prosper and be healthy physically. But is that why we eat? It's something much more organic, isn't it? Something much more fundamental. I get hungry. I feel a pain in my tummy. And so I eat. So when it comes to taking in spiritual food, Jehovah wants us to have a similar yearning, a similar longing. Can you imagine going to bed at night, and as your head hits the pillow, you think to yourself, "You know, I haven't eaten a single thing all day. Oh well, tomorrow, if I get time, I'll eat something." There's no way that would happen, especially if you're me. You would get up right away and you would eat. So what about in a spiritual sense? Would we allow our head to hit the pillow at night, having not taken in any spiritual food for the entire day? It should be unthinkable to us. So Jehovah loves those. He loves us when we don't let other things get in the way of our taking in spiritual food. We want to cultivate that feeling of hunger. And not only that, because Jehovah loves those ones, we love them too, don't we? How do you feel about those in your congregation that show themselves to be spiritually hungry, or those you call on in the ministry who have a spiritual hunger? We love them, don't we? Let's look at our second group now, whom Jehovah loves. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. Now please, young ones, can you pay particular attention to this portion? 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22. And we're going to see in this verse the formula for young ones to be a success and to be in Jehovah's love. So are you looking for the formula? 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. It reads there, "So flee from youthful desires, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a clean heart." So did you see the formula? Two things in particular: flee, and at the same time, pursue. Flee from what? From youthful desires, from wrong desires, and pursue righteousness. You young ones are a particular target of Satan the devil. He tries to ensnare you with sexual immorality. It's all around you, perhaps at school. Drugs, tobacco, pornography, and the list goes on. Satan is trying to hunt you down in a spiritual sense. Now, we can take a lesson, young ones, from a bird that is very difficult to hunt. Extremely difficult to hunt. Have you ever heard of a snipe? Not a snape, a snipe. It's a type of bird that is so difficult to hunt that in 1770s India, the British soldiers would try to hunt this bird and they would always fail. If anyone was good enough to shoot one of these birds, they were called a sniper. And that's where that word comes from. So what can we learn from this bird? Well, do you remember in our previous parts we've learned that to flee means a refusal to linger, to make an urgent escape. Well, when a hunter comes with anywhere near a snipe, it's gone. And it not only flees immediately, but it knows exactly where to flee. It always knows its escape route. So for you young ones, do you think to yourself, well, there's the temptation. Here I am. I'll just try not to move towards the temptation. What would happen to a bird that's being hunted if it had that mentality? It's dead meat. So the snipe, well, as soon as that hunter appears on the scene, it's gone. And not only that, but it's going a certain direction. Which direction do you young ones want to go? Well, pursue righteousness, personal study, meetings, ministry, spiritual goals, full-time service, perhaps. This is the way to be a success. Now, some of you young ones may be in a situation where you're on your own. Perhaps you have no family members that are supporting you in your spiritual efforts. Well, here again, the snipe can be encouraging because it's a solitary bird. It can actually be an advantage. It makes it even more difficult to hunt. So how can you turn that situation, if you're on your own spiritually, to an advantage? Well, if you can't lean on a close family member, then who are you going to lean on more? You're going to lean on Jehovah more. And that in itself can be a huge advantage. Let's go to our third group now. That is those who are trained by discipline. Let's read about that at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11, please. Hebrews 12 and verse 11. It reads there, "True, no discipline seems for the present to be joyous, but it is painful. Yet afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." So what is the purpose of discipline? Why does Jehovah give discipline? Well, he wants to promote righteous conduct in that individual. He wants to restore that person's peaceful relationship with him. Now, would Jehovah do that? Would Jehovah discipline a person in order to restore the relationship if he didn't love that person? Wouldn't he rather say, well, I'm glad that relationship's over. I won't bother disciplining them. So the discipline is given because of love. Does Jehovah continue to love the one who has been disciplined? Well, we could ask ourselves the question, is the discipline appreciated and applied? Or is it resented and rejected? Certainly, if it's appreciated and applied, then Jehovah continues to love that individual. Notice we said this particular group that we're talking about are those who allow themselves to be trained by discipline. Not just those who receive discipline, but those who allow themselves to be trained by discipline. In that regard, let's turn to Luke chapter 15. It's the account about the prodigal son. Let's just read a few choice verses there. Luke 15, verses 20 through to 22. And look out for three things here in these verses. Luke 15, 20 to 22. What is Jehovah's view to those who perhaps come into a situation where the relationship is disturbed between them and Jehovah? What is Jehovah's view towards them? What should be the attitude of the wrongdoer? How should he allow himself to be trained by discipline? And thirdly, what should be our view of those who've been disciplined and allow themselves to be trained by it? So verse 20 reads, "So he got up and went to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was moved with pity, and he ran and embraced him and tenderly kissed him." So we see Jehovah's view, don't we, towards the wrongdoer, looking out for them with love. But notice the wrongdoer's attitude. Verse 21, it says, "Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy of being called your son.'" What a change from perhaps a proud attitude to a very humble one. That's being trained by discipline. And then verse 22, "But the father said to his slaves, 'Quick, bring out a robe, the best one, and clothe him with it, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet.'" So we see a joyful attitude at that person's return. Do we reflect that same joyful attitude when one allows themselves to be trained by discipline? Jehovah loves them, we love them too. Let's go to our fourth group, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10. Will help us to identify those ones. Matthew 5 and verse 10. It reads there, "Happy are those who have been persecuted for righteousness' sake, since the kingdom of the heavens belongs to them." So the group we're talking about here that Jehovah loves and are pursuing righteousness are those who've been persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now, persecution can come from many sources and in many forms. It could be unbelieving family members. It could be classmates or workmates. Perhaps the medical community or the government may impose bans and restrictions. It could be the media. But why does Jehovah love those who maintain their integrity in spite of hardships and persecutions? Well, imagine that in your community, you have been slandered. You have been accused of something that you didn't do. Maybe you've been labeled as cruel, just as Jehovah has. Now, how would you feel about those in the community that went against the majority and stood up for you and spoke up for you? Or how would you feel about them if they were threatened with being beaten or imprisoned or even killed and they still spoke up for you? Well, wouldn't your heart overflow with love for those ones? And that's how Jehovah feels about those who've been persecuted for his name's sake. Satan questions our motives, doesn't he, for serving Jehovah? He says that if we're put under pressure, we won't continue to be loyal. Well, those questions that Jehovah raises, that Satan raises about our integrity, they seem so foolish, don't they? When we look at the world scene and we see our brothers willing to go through every kind of persecution for the sake of their loyalty to Jehovah. Please, brothers and sisters, just make a note of this. If you go to jw.org, navigate to newsrooms, and from there go to legal developments. Because we can show the same love that Jehovah has for these ones by including them in our prayers. And if we look at this part of our website, we'll be able to find individuals around the world in different situations that we can pray for specifically that are undergoing trials. And perhaps you're already doing that. That's excellent. Jehovah is faithful. He gives his spirit to these ones so that they may endure. There's no doubt how Jehovah feels about these ones. And we can reflect that by persevering in prayer on their behalf. Let's go to our next group now, and we can find them at Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 31. Proverbs 16 and verse 31 reads, "Gray hair is a crown of beauty when it is found in the way of righteousness." Now, it's true that old age doesn't necessarily always equal righteousness. But what this verse tells us, that it is a crown of beauty to Jehovah when it is found in the way of righteousness. Our older ones are exemplary. They're solid, stable, constant in their meetings, and they do their best in the ministry in spite of challenging circumstances. But we want to ask you, older ones, do you feel valued by Jehovah and his organization? Let's go to Psalm 92, verses 12 to 14, to see how Jehovah views you. And we can all remind ourselves of Jehovah's view and reflect that toward our older ones. Psalm 92, verses 12 to 14. It reads there, "But the righteous will flourish like a palm tree and grow big like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of Jehovah. They flourish in the courtyards of our God. Even in old age, they will still be thriving. They will remain vigorous and fresh." So, you older ones, you are like a beautiful palm tree, like a majestic cedar. We love you. We need you. We need your wisdom and maturity. You are highly valued by Jehovah and his people. So, if you'd like to take out your program, you can see a question there. And we're going to review it just for a moment. The question is, how does Jehovah feel about those who pursue righteousness? And the answer is nice and short. It's Proverbs 15 and verse 9. Jehovah loves the one who pursues righteousness. So brothers and sisters, we live in very critical times. Every single one of us is affected. But you're not taking the easy way out. So you deserve commendation. Because you make the effort to satisfy your spiritual hunger, and because you stick to Jehovah even through discipline and hardship, be assured that Jehovah loves you, and he will rescue you.
Thank you very much, Brother Snape.